Again, thank you for joining us this morning. We're wrapping up our series called Courageous. I did something courageous last Sunday. I went home with Barbie. I want to thank the many of you who offered me a ride home. And I may yet take you up on it. Now, if you weren't here last week, you'll have to listen to that sermon online on our website, and you will understand that. Throughout this series, though, we have been challenged to be courageous and think big. When it comes to our God and what He can do, we've got to think big. Our God is bigger than we can imagine. Nothing is impossible with God. His ways and thoughts are not like ours. They are better. His love is so big, He loved the world so much He gave His Son. His grace is so big, it reaches even me. His forgiveness is so big, He has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west, buried them deeper than the deepest sea. In view of how big our God is, in every way, we have been challenged then to be courageous and take risks. We can trust Him to have all the resources necessary to step out on faith for Him and much more. We can have faith to have Him meet all the needs and use even us in great ways. Taking risks can sometimes be scary. So then we were challenged to be courageous and overcome fear. Overcome what it is that keeps us from really stepping out courageously for God. It takes a lot of courage to overcome fear. Fear is no respecter of persons. Everybody experiences fear. It's a part of life. And sometimes taking risks and trying to overcome our fears in the process, we will have to be courageous and stand alone. From the cradle to the grave, the pressure is on all of us to fit in. Call it prayer pressure or whatever else you want. There is an innate desire in each one of us to be accepted, to belong, sometimes at all costs. So we try to look like everybody else, talk like everybody else, dress like everybody else, and in the end, we become like everybody else, until we feel so alone in the very crowd we wanted to belong to, never realizing our true or full potential to be who we really are. So instead of becoming the one of a kind, unique, original that God created each of us to be, we end up becoming a carbon copy of somebody else. And in the process, we lose our uniqueness, our originality, and our personality until at one point or another we begin to feel the overwhelming need to wander off and spend some time trying to find myself. A recent study found that 98% of children up to age 5 score in the genius category when it comes to divergent thinking. Now, divergent thinking is being creative, thinking out of the box. They see all kinds of options. For example, you buy a kid a gift, they unwrap it, they look at the gift in the package, smile, say thank you, may hug the gift, put it aside, but they can take that box that it came in. They can make a bed out of it. They can make a fort out of it. They can make an airplane out of it. They see all kinds of options. And up to age 5, 98% think that way. But when they get to age 10, it drops to 32% who think that way. By the age of 14, only 10% think that way. And after the age of 25, only 2% score in the genius category of divergent thinking. That's why we hear in our country today about that 1% or 2% who rise to the top. If we're not careful, over time, we are all pressured to fit in and conform to what everyone else is thinking and doing. Perhaps that was what Paul understood when he wrote, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Then, after you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, then, after you start thinking the way God created you to think, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. One of the things I love about MCC is we encourage divergent thinking and divergent living, especially among our leadership. That's why we have ministry teams. We encourage them to take this area of ministry. Think outside of the box. Think how God can use this area of ministry in new and exciting ways or continuing ways that are working to reach our communities. That's why we have staff and elders. This is not a one-man show. And you ought to be thankful for that. Oh. The power of the pause. I pause too long. All of us don't pray alike. All of us don't have "I love my church" stickers on our cars. We should. If you don't, I find it hard to pray for you, but all of us don't drive the same make and model cars. All of us don't even believe the same thing on all issues outside the Scriptures. And I think that's good because it makes us think about why we believe what we believe. Is it because I believe what I believe because that's what the church told me to believe? Is it because that's what my parents told me to believe? Is it because that's what my schools have taught me to believe? Is it because that's what my friends believe? Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we live the way we do? We're going to wrap up this series today with the need to be courageous and stand alone. If we're going to stand alone, we've got to learn to live for an audience of one. And that one is who? God. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 4. Keep that open. We're going to go through most all of it. If we're going to impact Muhammad and the communities we serve for Jesus, what is it going to take? I believe it's going to take ordinary people with extraordinary amounts of courage. It's going to take courage because any time you take a stand for Jesus, you can expect opposition. Wayne Smith used to say every Super Bowl Sunday, if you carry the ball, you're going to get tackled. Jesus told His disciples, "Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." I know things seem worse than ever before in our country with regards to our religious freedoms and to our Judeo-Christian heritage. Yet we are facing nothing like many of our Christian brothers and sisters face every day in numerous places around the world. In the Middle East, Christians are still being beheaded by ISIS because they will not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. In China, many leaders of the underground church are still being put in prison, all for practicing their faith and teaching God's words to others. In Africa, Muslim militants are kidnapping and killing children, raping their daughters and wives in front of their families. Now, it may not be that extreme in America yet, But nonetheless, it is true that we are often opposed in the media. Many of our values have been overturned by Supreme Court rulings. We are often forbidden to speak openly about our faith in the workplace. We are having more and more false doctrines imposed upon us by some who worship false gods, even from the sacred halls of our Congress as well as the sacred halls of some of our churches. Charles Stanley said, "Too many Christians have a commitment of convenience. They will stay faithful as long as it's safe and doesn't involve risk, rejection, or criticism." Instead of standing alone in the face of challenge, they check to see which way their friends are going. I believe we're going to be facing more and more opposition as we live out our faith. So Christians, MCC, get ready, expect opposition. This morning we're going to look at two Christ followers who faced persecution. In Acts chapter 4, it was Peter and John. Now, the background to this moment is they have just healed a man who had been crippled from birth. His whole life, this man has been unable to walk. And they healed him. Because of their healing and because of other healings and their teachings, they began to attract large crowds, just like Jesus did. But listen carefully. Whenever and wherever God is blessing, Satan will show up. And he will try to oppose our mission and try to silence our message. As Acts chapter 4 begins, Peter and John are being seized by the same religious leaders who had condemned Jesus to die. Can you imagine the courage they would need? They killed their leader, and now they're after them. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John, catch this phrase, while they were speaking to the people. They were there as I would be on a Sunday morning preaching to you, and they would come in through the door while I'm teaching and preaching and seize me and carry me out. While they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But listen, many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? You see, that was a day when whatever name you did things in meant something. If you were doing something in the name of Caesar, that carries weight. If you were doing that in the name of David Johnson, so where'd you get this authority? Where'd you get this power? By what power? They just healed a man who had been born crippled. By what power or what name did you do this? Going before these men and giving their testimony would be like us testifying before the Supreme Court. How do you respond when your faith is challenged in the marketplace, that is, at work, at school, in public, or even in the church? Do you find yourself recoiling in fear? Or are you ready to stand alone in courage for what you believe? Look at verse 8 and let's see what these two men did. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, now I know a lot of men and women both who stand up today who are filled with themselves, who stand up and say some pretty foolish things, don't you? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Man, that took courage. The courage to take that stand came from the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit, I love that we sang that song this morning, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That same Holy Spirit is the gift Jesus gives to us at our baptism and conversion today. This same Peter who said that to them said to us in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." Now there's the power and authority and the name by which your sins are forgiven. "Every one of you, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin." And hey, you want to know something else, by the way? You will, not you might, or you could get that lottery come around to you. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Peter goes on to finish that courageous response with a very politically incorrect declaration in verse 12. "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Listen, that statement is still politically incorrect in America today. And it is still the truth. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby we can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Peter did not shy away from the truth, and neither can we. But listen, even when we speak the truth in love, you can expect opposition. So they have to ask themselves, what do we do? What do we do when we're faced with opposition? What do we do when others try to intimidate us in our faith? Well, number two, you need to stand firm. Verse 13 says, when they saw, now they, that's those religious leaders who are examining them. When they saw what? The courage of Peter and John. And realized these were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Did you catch all that? Ordinary men going about their day with extraordinary courage, spreading the good news about their risen Savior, doing good things for others in the name of Jesus. And it was astonishing. Everyone took notice of them, even their enemies. And they recognized that this came from being with Jesus. They were teaching the same things Jesus taught. You see, the closer you follow Jesus, the more you think like Jesus, the more you talk like Jesus, and the more you live like Jesus. It continues on in verse 14. But since they, again we're talking about the Sanhedrin here, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. What are we going to do? They can't be doing this. And somebody goes, "You did it." So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. So they got into their own little house chambers here, and here's what they said, verse 16. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. Verse 17, underline this. But to stop this. The goal has never been of the devil to push you over in a corner on the church house on the weekend. His goal has never been to hinder you. It's never been just to trip you up. His goal is to stop you. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Now, that's our idle threat as parents to our children. Don't you do that again or else. There's your warning. And then what did you always question? Or else what? Well, we must warn them. And just like many today, the evidence is right there in front of them. They can't deny it, but they cannot allow it either. So what are they going to do with all this? What are they going to do with us? They have to come together and come up with a plan to stop it. Let's warn them. Here's an idea. Let's get offended. Or let's cry intolerance, hate speech, or discrimination, racism. Let's even pass laws against it. Now that sounds a whole lot like Nebuchadnezzar that we talked about last week, doesn't it? Satan has tried to silence the church ever since Jesus commissioned her to tell the world. And he uses lies and fear and intimidation and threats and laws and schools. He will do anything and use anything and use anyone he can to stop Christians from standing up courageously for their faith. But just like Nebuchadnezzar, it's going to backfire. This only encouraged them to speak more, and it ought to encourage us to speak more. We should understand that because, listen, if you want to get someone to do something, whether they're young or old, just tell them what. You can't do that. You can't wear that. You can't go there. Really? Ever heard this expression? You ain't the boss of me? Tell them they can't do it. And Satan has told the church for 2,000 years, you cannot take that message of Jesus to the world. Really? You ain't the boss of me. Peter and John said, really? Really? Don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus? Bring it on. Now that's the Pastor David translation. Verse 19 actually says, Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to Him? You be the judges of that. I'm not going to tell you. You be the judges of that. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Husbands and wives, moms and dads, students, Christians, there comes a time in each of our lives when we have got to take a stand, even if it means standing alone. And that will take great courage. But you know what? That begs a question. Do you know where you stand? Do others at home, at school, at work, do others know where you stand? See, they took note of them, and that evidence showed they'd been with Jesus. When folks take note of you, what does it give them evidence of? Well, listen, Jesus watches you every day, and He knows where you stand. If you will be courageous and take a stand, you will find in your own life, God still takes ordinary people with extraordinary courage to do some extraordinary things for Him. Thirdly, we must pray boldly. Verse 23 says, on their release, now remember they warned them and let them go. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. When we are challenged for our faith today by unbelievers, by our friends, by our classmates, our teachers, our co-workers, our neighbors and friends, even in our church, we have two options. We can change our message to make them feel comfortable, or we can call on God to give us the courage to meet the challenge. What do we pray for today? Do you find yourself praying for protection or for power? For comfort or for courage? For safety or success? For His will or our will? Do we find ourselves praying for blessings or boldness? Look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God, how? Boldly. In Acts chapter 1, 120 believers prayed in an upper room. As a result, in Acts chapter 2, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. They went to the streets and preached boldly about Jesus, and 3,000 were added to their number. They continued to pray, and now we come to Acts chapter 4, and the number has grown to over 5,000. Why did the church continue to grow and expand? I think it did so because of Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit power gave them boldness and it gave them courage. And if the Holy Spirit did that with them 2,000 years ago, what can He do with us today? So here's our takeaway. Where do you get your courage to stand alone? There are at least 4 factors I think you need to accomplish extraordinary things in your faith as you try to live out your faith loudly and boldly for God with boldness and courage. First of all, you need fervent prayer. You need prayer for boldness and courage. You need to take it to the Lord. You need to ask Him not to protect you, keep you safe, to build a hedge around you. You need to ask Him boldly to use you, to give you the strength, the courage, the words, the wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can give you, to stand alone if you have to for those challenges. Secondly, you need to know and be a part of the life of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus met with His disciples for the last time and got ready to commission the church, He told them, after all of this, go back to Jerusalem and wait. And what He told them to wait on was to wait for the Holy Spirit. Because when they got the Holy Spirit, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Wait for that Holy Spirit power. Don't try to do it in your own strength, in your own wisdom. Wait for His power, His wisdom, His courage, His boldness. And you can always sing that song that we sang earlier, I'll never walk alone when I walk into those situations. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Which, are we on 4 now, I hope? 4? We need other believers. You see, when they were released, what'd they do? They didn't go out in the street and brag about it and say, well, I guess we showed them. They went back to their own people. They went back to where other believers were gathered because they knew there is courage in numbers. That's why having a church family is so important. You've been out there all week in the workplace, at school. Some of you taking a beating. Now you come back into our church family. And you're loved. You're encouraged. Pray for you. We mean it when we say put your prayer requests on those cards. Our elders pray for every one of those every Sunday after church And then they're disseminated among our prayer folks. That's why we need a small group. Small groups are so important. This is a great gathering, isn't it? I love Sunday morning worship. But do you know how intimate it is when you get with 10 or 12 others and you begin to share life, not just worship and praise? Small groups are so important. That's why freedom groups are so important. That's why it's important for everyone to have an MCC bumper sticker. All kidding aside, do you know why that's important? Because every time I drive around town and I see one of those stickers, it encourages me. I know I'm not alone. And there is strength in numbers. And I know that there are others out there so dissatisfied with the way church is going these days. Perhaps some are ready to quit church altogether. And they're going to see one of those stickers on the highway or in your driveway, in the parking lots at school and around town in the shopping areas. And they're going to ask, why? Why do they love their church? And when even one comes to see why, or when even one asks you why, why do you love your church? We can tell them. And by the lives we live, we can show them. Because MCC is a great place to be loved and experience Jesus. So for the sake of your insecure pastor, get one of those bumper stickers. You can get them out at the Welcome Center, stop by the office. They're free. Get two. If you're shopping and the car next to you doesn't have one. Face it, the church is losing ground in America today because too many have settled for tolerance instead of truth. Too many have settled for comfort instead of challenge. Too many want peace instead of being willing to take risks. And as a result, many Christians who worship there find religion instead of a relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Leaves us too many times with churches who are trying to fit in instead of churches who are willing to stand out. I don't want that to happen to MCC, do you? If we don't want that to happen to MCC, then we cannot let it happen to us. I cannot let it happen to me, and you cannot let it happen to you. Let's get up every day, pray boldly for the courage to take our stand for Jesus. Father God, we do love our church. We love our fellowship. It is one of those safe places for our faith. At least here at MCC, we think. There are some who are worshiping this morning in churches. They don't even feel safe there. Afraid if they really let people know what's going on in their lives, they wouldn't like them anymore or want them to be a part of it anymore. Afraid if they disagreed with somebody, they'd just really be ostracized. Here, if Jesus can love me, He can love you too. And if Jesus can love me, I can love you too. So this morning, Father, I pray that Your Spirit will challenge each of us because it's the Holy Spirit power we need right now. His power for some to make that bold step out and say, Father, I need to repent of my sins and I need to be baptized, calling on the name, the only name given under heaven that can save mankind, the name of Jesus, and be baptized in that name to have those sins washed away. And then I need to anticipate that I'm going to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, because that gift of the Spirit is what's going to give me the courage and the boldness to take a stand and to speak out for you. Many here have already made that stand. But some have relocated. They need a place to call church home, a place to go to once this world has released them from their week, where they can get with others of like precious faith and pray together and feel the boldness of the Holy Spirit falling in our lives and working in our lives. We'd love to be that church home. Others, Father, need to make decisions at home, at work, at school, with a commitment not of convenience, but a commitment that says, I'm all in. But to go all in, Father, means we need your courage. We need courage to take a stand, even if it means standing alone. So whatever our decisions this morning, Father, let us make it in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit power that you give us. Step out courageously and make them here. Go home and make those phone calls or write those letters courageously. Go to work tomorrow, to school on Tuesday, and let people know we've been with Jesus, not that we've been to church. There is a world of difference. And we will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.